Hello, everyone. You are listening to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon, and today we continue our People Article Wonder. And back in the studio, I have Pauline. Welcome, Pauline.
Hey, thanks for having me again. I really enjoyed our discussion yesterday. I'm looking forward to it today.
Pauline, what is something from yesterday that you really stuck with you?
Ooh, that was a great phrase we learned yesterday. You know, I just really appreciate learning the story behind the movie and the book, you know, learning about the author. I think that's always interesting to learn how somebody becomes an author, what their motivations are. So this, it was really interesting to learn about that yesterday, and I know we'll get to learn a little more about that today.
That's right, and this movie has been out for a while now, and but maybe some of you don't know the history behind the writer, R.J. Palacio, so hopefully this has been insightful for you. Also, back in the studio with us today is Joe. Welcome back, Joe.
Hey, it's good to be here.
And Joe, what is something from yesterday that kind of stuck with you that you would like to highlight?
Well, you know, you see someone as a New York Times best-selling author, and you think, wow, I could never do that. Mm-hmm. And then you realize, well, she was a closet writer, and then she did all these other different kinds of jobs, and you realize, you know, she's just a person who's been working on the skill for a long time and also has some good inspiration. And I think that's kind of encouraging if you have something you're passionate about, but you're a closet whatever, a closet musician, closet writer, whatever you are.
And it's a gift, right?
Right.
And she saw this back in seventh grade when she wrote that English paper that we talked about. And so it has been something that she's been working on for a long time. And sometimes it takes a while before we kind of before we are successful. And so that's encouraging for all of us. Maybe, listeners, some of you have been working on something for years and you haven't found that success that you've been looking for. Well, keep trying. Don't give up. And we hope that this has been an inspiration for you. Well, today we are going to continue talking about Wonder, the book, the movie, and more of the details of that. So if you're on page 35, or if you have your digital device, you can follow along. We'll have our first reading for today.
My reaction was to protect the little girl. I knew the moment my son saw her, he would start to cry. And that is exactly what happened. My big fear was she would see him reacting to her face, Palacio says. I whisked him away and later regretted doing that. I was worried that, from her point of view, it might have looked like I was trying to shield my son. That incident touched Palacio deeply and sparked the idea for Wonder. The book not only deals with how children look at those who are different in appearance, but at how adults deal with such situations. Palacio also reveals through other characters that while the main character of Augie can't conceal his differences, all of the other characters are dealing with their own situations that make them different.
At the end of yesterday, we talked about how Palacio got this idea for the book Wonder. She was in an ice cream store. She had her 3-year-old son with her. And who else was in the store there?
So there was a girl with a facial birth defect. We talked about this yesterday. If you have a birth defect, that means from birth, from the time you're born, there is something wrong. There is some problem with your body of some sort. So in this case, it's a facial disc defect. So there's it's very obvious that something is wrong with the face. It's not going to look normal. It'll probably look a little shocking and maybe disturbing. So that's what our author saw, this young girl with this really surprising facial defect that's kind of a little scary or surprising. And she was worried about how her son was going to react. She thought he might cry just in response to seeing her face.
So she tried to leave the store very quickly, but that only made matters worse. And, of course, on the surface, the girl might think, oh, you know, I'm the problem. But actually, Palacio was concerned about her son. She didn't want her son to cry and make the girl feel bad about it, right?
Right. And so So what she's saying here is that actually she was trying to protect the girl. Pelosi really did feel a great deal of empathy for this girl and didn't want to have her have the experience of this little kid crying at the side of her face. You can see how that would be very traumatic. Nobody would want that. And so she's thinking, well, if I can just get my son to just kind of quietly move away, then she won't have that awkwardness of having this little kid crying when he sees her. But it didn't really work out that way for her. I think it became kind of obvious that she was trying to leave. The kid noticed the girl. He did cry. Yeah. It just kind of built into a bigger and bigger problem.
I especially, you know, you describe the scene so vividly. you get that real image there. And what's interesting is, you know, she says, I whisked him away. Mm. And so I think she was still very quiet about it, but she was also trying to move very quickly. And sometimes when you whisk someone away, you take someone or something somewhere else very suddenly and quickly, it's kind of obvious. Everyone can see you're clearly running away from something.
Right. And the kid was already crying, right? He says it did happen. He did start to cry. So there's a kid crying and all of a sudden the mom whisks him away. Like there's no way people aren't going to notice at that point, right? And so then she realizes that while in her mind she was trying to be kind and trying to prevent this girl with a facial birth defect from feeling bad or pointed out or something, in the end, maybe her response actually made it worse.
Right.
Maybe it looked like she was just didn't want her kid to be upset by this girl, and so she decided, oh, we're not going to have ice cream here. We can go somewhere else where everybody is perfectly normal and won't upset my child. But that really was not what was going on in her mind. She thought, you know, that she could help protect the girl by getting her child out of that
ice
cream place. And it's
a difficult situation, right? You have a kid, your kid is crying, and that's already a challenge. And so you kind of just want to resolve the situation as quickly as possible, but you have to think about everything involved, right?
Right, and that's just so hard. And here, you know, at the end of that sort of story and that scene, you know, she was worried that from the girl's point of view, might have looked like she was just trying to shield or protect her son. And so, you know, motivation, intentions are all good, but it's so hard to determine what things will look like from other people's perspectives.
Yeah.
I think this is a great example of and I think maybe this goes into the whole, one of the motivations for, we know this is going to be the thing that starts her down this path of writing this book, right? And you start to think about, well, how should I react? And thinking about those things in advance, you know, if when I encounter people with disabilities with my children, how do I want to interact with them? When you're in the moment like that, it's so hard to make a really, you know, good decision because you're not expecting it. You're just going out for ice cream and all of a sudden there's this complicated situation you weren't expecting. So a book like this helps you begin to think about, okay, if I were ever in that situation, if I had a child like this, how would I want the people around me to react? To start to think about those things are really important. I shared yesterday, my cousin has a couple children who are disabled and she writes a lot on a blog about that. And I always really appreciate learning about, you know, what are ways that I can interact with the disabled community and disabled families in a more honoring way that really includes them and doesn't ignore the fact that they have disabilities, but really engages in it. If any of you are interested, her blog's ellenstumbo.com, ellenstumbo.com. It's great for families who have disabilities.
It's good to think about it before you get into the situation, right? And that's a really good point, and we can use that in many areas of our lives. You know, I was recently watching a movie, it's older, but it was about a man who has Tourette's syndrome based on a true story. I believe the title of the movie is At the Front of the Class or something.
I love that movie.
Something like that, yeah. I had never heard of it. And anyway, the man, he becomes a teacher. But he had a really difficult time getting that job because if you're familiar with Tourette's, you have, you know, these twitches and then you can make noises and stuff, inadvertently. You can't control that. And so he would go in for an interview and people, they couldn't really ask what's wrong with you. They weren't maybe allowed to do that by law, but he would usually tell them. And then, of course, many people would not hire him because he's going to be teaching kids, right? But eventually he gets a job and he is very, very successful at it. And so through that movie, it teaches you a life lesson that, you know, we're all different, but we can all learn from each other, right? And I think that's part of what this movie is trying to teach as well. So this is the background of the story. And this incident touched Palacio deeply and sparked the idea for Wonder. And we learn more, Joe, about what the book deals with.
Right. So the book is not only dealing with how children look at those who are different in appearance, but also how adults deal with those sorts of situations. So you can actually see how that incident, in, you know, that we've already talked about, is sort of the main thread of the book. How do children react and how do adults respond to these very difficult and sensitive situations?
Exactly. And then she starts to think through it kind of at a deeper level. You can see where then she really wants, you know, you as the reader, whoever's reading these books, to think about the fact that, you know, while some people have disabilities, they have these differences right on the surface for everybody to see. The reality is, as adults we know, every person we interact with has their challenges, the things that they're dealing with on the inside that make them very different. But it's easier to hide those things, right? And people with disabilities, they have them right on the surface for everyone to see.
That's right. So it tells us here that Palacio reveals through other characters that while the main character of Augie can't conceal his differences, just as Pauline was talking about, if you conceal something, you hide it. Well, in this case, Augie could not do that. We all have differences, and we try to conceal those differences. But oftentimes, it's good to talk about it because it helps us process that, and it helps people to know who we are. And maybe some of those differences is what people need to see, right?
Absolutely.
And so this movie helps us to look at things in a different light. I think sometimes in pop culture, we get the idea that everyone needs to be a certain way. But that's not the case. When you're trying to copy someone else, people don't get to benefit from who you really are, right? And so we need to celebrate those the uniqueness that we have. So next we learn more about Palacio and her thoughts. Let's find out what that is in our next reading for today.
Palacio says showing how everyone has differences was something purposefully done because she wrote the book with children in mind. I wanted to show them that everyone has a story to tell, Palacio says. We all have things about us that we wish we could change or we consider as burdens. In fact, our differences are what unites us all. We all have those things in common if we just look for them a little more. That was the message I wanted to give.
Okay, so Palacio says, showing how everyone has differences was something purposely done. Why, Pauline?
Well, because she wrote the book with children in mind. So as adults, I think along the way, most of us start to understand that, you know, every person has a lot more going on the inside than what we see on the outside, right? But she's writing a book for children, and children aren't maybe quite at that level of awareness yet of really thinking about all the other unknowns behind a person that they're interacting with, all the different things that are happening in their families that could be affecting the way they interact with you. So she really wanted to show that to children to help them start thinking about the differences and the struggles that all the other kids are having in their lives.
That's true. I think something is, you know, we often say, oh, kids can be so cruel. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes children don't know how to be sympathetic. They're not really aware and they can't really accept differences because, you know, their experiences are so limited. They don't really know what else is out there. So I think teaching that everyone can be different, you're going to see things that are different in this world and you can learn to accept them at any age is really important.
Yeah, and she continues talking about that in the next paragraph. I really love everything she says here. First, she says, I wanted to show them that everyone has a story to tell. So just teaching kids to be interested in others, to be curious about their lives and want to know about it. Again, I think sometimes there's, we all have a little bit of selfishness in us, but I think even at younger ages, you're just not thinking about that. So encouraging them to think about, who is this person? What's their story? What makes them interesting? Like, that's a great thing to start teaching kids.
That's true. This is a good life point, something to live by, that everyone has a story to tell. Many times we think, oh, I don't have anything to share, but we all have a story and we need to tell it because others can benefit from that story. And she goes on, she says, we all have things about us that we wish we could change or we consider as burdens. And sometimes we focus on those things. We think, oh, I wish this was different about me. And we magnify that so much. And it's not really that big of a deal, but we make it a bigger deal than it is. And then it affects our whole lives. And so that's something that we, you know, have to be aware of, you know. Not to focus on what we should be changing. Of course, we all need certain things that we need to change, but some things we can't help, and we shouldn't make that such a huge deal.
I think there's also something to be said of allowing our awareness of our, you know, of our flaws and our imperfections, the things about our personality that aren't our favorite things about ourselves, to have grace for ourselves, but then also to have that extend out to others, right? And I think that's really the story she's telling here about, you know, I have things about me that I wish I could change, or things about my life that I wish had not happened the way they did.
Yeah.
And other people do too, and that's where we are all united, she says.
Yeah.
The thing that unites all of us is we all have things we wish we could change. We all have things that aren't perfect about us. So whether that's, you know, the very obvious physical disabilities that these kids are interacting with in this story, or, you know, more hidden things, we all have things we wish we could change, and we can come together in that.
Okay, so our differences unite us. We all have those things in common if we just look for them a little more. That was the message I wanted to give. And so this is kind of the main point of why she wrote this book. That's the message that she's trying to get across. And Joe, it's something that we can all benefit from.
Absolutely. And again, just understanding that differences are beautiful, and we can really learn more about each other if we're willing to accept those differences rather than push them away.
And I like that she is writing to children. Of course, adults will enjoy this book as well. We'll talk more about that later. But there's also the issue of bullying in schools. And so I think this book could go a long ways to help with that, to show kids that, hey, yes, people are different, but their value is no different. They're just as valuable as you, no matter how they look or what differences they may have.
So important. Also, I wanted to make a note about on page 34 from yesterday, there's a sidebar that we didn't get to because we didn't have time, but it was really interesting. It talks about that she wrote this book for kids, but she didn't talk down to them. She talks in the same way that she would talk to an adult. She tries to have a very serious kind of conversation with them through a story. And it said the only concession, so the only, how would you describe the word concession, guys?
I think the only thing that she was willing, that she was not willing to give up, or the only thing that she was willing to give up or change, rather. So she was willing to change this one thing.
Right, for good, exactly. The one thing she was willing to change to make it more accessible to kids was she made the sentences shorter. And by the way, I just thought, oh, that means this would be a great book for ESL, for people who have a second language who want to read a book that still uses adult language in a natural way, but doesn't have these super long meandering sentences that go on for a paragraph.
Right.
I know anyways for myself, I do speak Spanish well enough to read it in another, you know, read it, but it's not my first language, so I'm always looking for books like that. So I thought, maybe for some of you listeners, this would be a great book to pick up and read.
Yeah, that is a excellent point, because sometimes you want to be treated as an adult, right? As you're, when you're reading a book and so forth, you want to read a book that's on your level, but why make it super complicated, right? Because you're still trying to maybe, you know, improve in the area of learning English, and this could be a good book for those who are ESL. So check it out. Well, we have more to talk about concerning the movie Wonder and how it has hit the big screen. Let's find out about that in our last reading for today.
The big screen. She's quite excited about the casting of Julia Roberts and Owen Wilson to play Augie's parents, as they are based on Palacio and her husband. That's us. My husband is a very funny guy. I had only seen Owen in funny movies, and I never expected him to turn in such a heartbreaking performance. When the funny guy cries, that gets you. It's like a punch in the gut, Palacio says. To see Julia Roberts, it's crazy because she is so amazing. Every emotion, I wrote, flickers across her face.
All right, well, the movie has hit the big screen, as many of you already know. And we learn here that Palacio is quite excited about the casting of Julia Roberts and Owen Wilson to play Augie's parents. So they are based on Palacio and her husband. And how does she describe that, Joe?
So, you know, in the following paragraph, she talks a lot about each actor and their role. I just want to mention, I wonder if this author looks at her husband and sees Owen Wilson. But she said, you know, that's us, you know, that her husband is a very funny guy. And I think that Julia Roberts probably also communicates a lot of the same emotion that Palacio felt.
Mm-hmm. So she says, as many of us can relate to this, she has only seen Owen in funny movies. We were just talking about that during the break earlier, how most of Owen Wilson's movies are comedies, right?
That's right. And so to see him in a bit more dramatic role, or a role that requires a wider range of emotion, it's kind of surprising.
She says that she never expected him to turn in such a heartbreaking performance. Now, there are a couple of things we can talk about here. First, Pauline, to turn in. And we think of, oh, I turn in my paper to my teacher.
Right.
What does it mean here when they're using the phrase turn in?
Well, we're talking about performances. You can turn in groundbreaking, you know, performance or groundbreaking something. I think anytime you can just use an adjective along with like performance, and then it just means you provided performance like of this sort. So he did it. He successfully provided a heartbreaking performance, meaning it was really moving, right?
Yeah.
It was very powerful.
Right. And so that means he did an excellent job at in this movie, and it really got the message across to people and touched people's hearts. Well, when the funny guy cries, that gets you. You know, you're used to seeing this guy crack jokes, but you're not used to seeing him so serious, and so maybe it has even a more powerful effect.
It's true. You know, you think about the comedian is someone who is always laughing regardless of the situation. And when you see a comedian start to cry, you go, this is a very sad situation, and now I feel that emotion even more.
Right. It says here, it's like a punch in the gut. Which we just use that phrase to explain that something's hit you really hard. It's a very strong, you have a very strong emotional reaction to something. So here she's saying it's just like a really sad, really powerful moment, right? So, and we can use it in other ways. If you say, you found out that, you know, somebody was fired or somebody's in the hospital, it's like a punch to the gut. You're just suddenly filled with, you know, horror or surprise or fear. Anytime you have this like sudden strong emotion, it's a punch to the gut. Usually a negative emotion, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And then she also describes Julia Roberts. She says, Palacio says, it's crazy because she is so amazing. Every emotion, I wrote, flickers across her face. And this is very descriptive. You can tell that Palacio is a writer because she's bringing out these details in such a vivid manner. If something flickers across your face, what is it doing?
So a flicker is just, you know, it appears for a short time or a sudden movement. You know, oftentimes if you're trying to set a romantic mood in a place, you'll have some candles and flicker a little light. But here, you know, emotions come and go very quickly, which is why I think the word flicker works nicely. The emotions come across her face very quickly as she changes from maybe sad to disappointed to relieved. All those sorts of different emotions all coming up to Julia Roberts as she's playing this role.
Right. Well, there at the bottom of page 35, we have another sidebar entitled An Unusual Experience. Pauline, could you just read that for
us? Sure. It says, seeing her ideas come to life in the film has been an unusual experience for the author. She found the way filmmakers created the look for Augie to be different from what she had envisioned while writing the book. But Palacio knows that even those who have read her book have seen their version of Augie in their minds. The only thing that couldn't change in creating the film was that it remained true to the idea that Augie is a 10-year-old boy who doesn't look like other 10-year-old boys.
Okay, so as is the case in many movies, with many movies, the movie doesn't always match the book exactly. In fact, sometimes they add in other details to maybe they're thinking it's making it more interesting for the big screen, right? And so she admits that there are some differences, right? But they still stay true to the main point of the book.
Right. And, you know, you see here that Palacio has just really lasered in and focused on the point that you have a boy who is 10 years old, who doesn't look like the other 10-year-old boys around him. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of the one thing she isn't willing to compromise on.
That's right.
And it's hard, though, because Hollywood changes so many things as you do any sort of writing.
Sure.
And you have so little control once you allow them to start making those movies. It's very, very nerve-wracking,
right.
I'm sure.
Right. Yeah.
We used the word concession earlier, and this is another point where you could say she was not willing to give any concessions on that point. So we said earlier she gave the one concession she gave when writing the book was that she wrote in smaller sentences for children. Here we have the kind of the other side of that. She gave many concessions, I'm sure, when giving Hollywood the opportunity to make this into a movie, but she wasn't willing to concede on this point. He needed to look like someone who was very different and had a disability.
Right. Well, we have had a great discussion the past 2 days about this book and movie called Wonder. And if you haven't seen the movie or read the book, maybe you would like to check it out and go into our website, studioclassroom.com, and let us know your thoughts about this book, if you've read it, or the movie, if you have seen it. Or maybe you want to tell us about some instance that you've been in, similar to what Palacio writes about. Maybe you have some insights to share with us as well. Please feel free to do that. Thanks for joining us today for Advanced Studio Classroom. Join us again next time. Until then, this is Brandon.
I'm Pauline.
I'm Joe.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.